Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
For our scriptures this morning, I want to read from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 to 15. You'll notice that this passage does include our memory verse that we're working through. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 7 through verse 15. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word as we consider it this morning together.
This morning's message is called "Beware of the Long Middle." And I'm grateful that in God's providence, he weakened my voice for this message because it fits the theme of the message quite well. What do you do when you're very weary and worn out and thinned out and you find yourself in the long middle? Well, that will be the theme of our message today as we look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7. Well, spring came this week, didn't it? I noticed my neighbors out picking up in their lawns. We even swept out the garage. In just a few more weeks, we'll all open our windows and we'll begin the annual process of spring cleaning. But have you noticed every year when you begin spring cleaning, how you often discover an unfinished project? Yeah, you find it sitting out there in the garage. Oh, I forgot about that. Or it was under the deck, or maybe under a stack of papers that laid there all winter long. You began the project with warm weather zeal last fall, but something happened over the winter and it stopped. Now, I dare say the same thing may have happened to you spiritually. Perhaps you began a spiritual project a long time back. You began to build something or to rebuild something for the glory of God and the good of your neighbor. You faced some brutal facts with optimism. Then you constructed a plan. You gathered the resources to get the job done. But for some reason, over time, something happened. Now, the cause still remains noble. The plan still remains sound. The resources were even coming together a bit. But then something happened. And today it stands half built. Maybe you had meant to start family devotions on a daily basis a while back. Maybe you had hoped to pray daily, morning and night. Maybe you had hoped to open your home to friendship, fellowship, and hospitality, to invite others into your lives and see God's Holy Spirit work. Well, if this has happened to you, all I can say is this: welcome to the long middle. Welcome to the long middle. The long middle is the most dangerous part of the race. It's so easy to begin a race, isn't it? Especially when there's a crowd gathered. All the runners are there, the banners, the shot of the gun, and you're off. And then the final moments of ending the race, also a joyful time. Fans are cheering. The finish line, the flag. But watch out for the long middle. Good men get lost in the long middle. Good women get tripped up in the long middle. Good boys and good girls get distracted in the long middle. It takes weeks, months, years to do something bold for God and bold for your neighbor. But beware of the long middle. Well, here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, the long middle had arrived in all of its glory. It was here. It says in verse 6, we rebuilt the wall until all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts. Now, that's the good news. Good, safe, healthy walls were rising. A time of safety, security, opportunity, prosperity was well on its way. And that took leadership. It was servant leadership from the governor all the way down to the local merchants. It took every member ministry from the men, the women, the singles, the commuters. And it also included strategic partnerships. People working as teams and families with generous praise. And they had a well-grounded leader named Nehemiah, who could face the danger of anger, ridicule, slander through prayer. The race to rebuild God's broken walls were well on its way, but then came the long middle, the long middle. We all know the danger of the long middle. 1 month had gone by, but there was still another month to go, and that's the long middle. It's easy to get discouraged in the long middle. And so that brings us to our first point today. And if you're taking notes, there's a pen attached to your bulletin. I think you'll find these points helpful because all of us have faced the long middle. So our first point is this: the cause of the long middle. What causes the long middle we find ourselves in? Please look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there is so much rubble that we can't rebuild the wall. The first cause of the long middle is fatigue. It happens, physical fatigue. The people were tired. The Hebrew phrase can be translated as they're stumbling, they're tottering, they're staggering. A solid month had gone by, and a solid month was left to go. And chapter 4, verse 21 tells us their work schedule. Look at it, verse 21. From the first light of dawn till the stars came out, they were working. What's more, the people were not only working dawn to dusk, but also doing double duty. Now, I know no one at Cedar Church does double duty, right? Oh, you know that's not true. Back then, they had to do double duty too. They were working by day and guarding the wall by night. Some of them worked two sections of the wall. Some of them carried tools and weapons, and that is hard work. Double duty from dawn to dusk, and sometimes a shift at night. But sometimes that happens. All of us have to go through seasons of double duty. Farmers do it when they plant or when they harvest. Maybe you have year-end overtime. Maybe you kids and teens have final exams for a week. And when you're in the middle of that double duty season, the only thing that you can do is work. You have to work. We call this stretch and release here at Cedar Church. Everyone has seasons of exertion followed by seasons of rest. And during the time of stretching, you just have to work. There's no way to get out of it. There's nothing you can do about it except this, dear church, listen closely, and that is to beware of the dangers of fatigue. Always remind yourself of the dangers of fatigue. Leaders call this the project life cycle. A project begins with enthusiasm. Second step, disillusionment. Third step, panic. Fourth step, search for the guilty. Fifth step, punish the innocent. Sixth step, praise those who didn't participate. The long middle. It's hard, I'll admit it. It's discouraging. But all I can say, dear church, is forewarned is forearmed. When you have a season of double duty, keep your head down, keep your feet moving until the work is done, and stay alert to the dangers of fatigue. Now, the second cause of their long middle, we see in the same verse, the second cause of the long middle is getting lost in the clutter. Getting lost in the clutter. Verse 10 tells us there was rubble everywhere. Verse 10, there is so much rubble. Clutter demoralizes people. Clutter chokes out energy. One study of a UCLA study showed that cortisol levels rise in a typical woman's body if she finds her house cluttered. We all know what it's like to have clutter and creates anxiety. Now, sometimes you have to endure the clutter, don't you? The project requires clutter. There's a season of clutter. And you have to keep reminding yourself during that season, this is only temporary. But, dear church, the time does come when the project is over and you must declutter or perish. I have found the best way to declutter is to start with a small area of your life that really has you down. Work on it 15 minutes a day. There's a three-point principle. It's this: keep what you need, get rid of the junk, and give away the rest. Then reclaim this key area in your life that you want to dedicate to God and to others. But don't get lost in the clutter, or you will get lost in the long middle. Oh, there's a third cause. The first, physically tired. The second, when you get lost in the clutter. The third often happens in the long middle, losing your confidence. Losing your confidence. Look at verse 10 again. The people say there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Now, dear church, that's not a factual statement. It's never true that there's so much clutter you can never finish a project. You can always move rubble so that walls can be built. The danger, dear church, is when you don't do it one step at a time. When me and the kids hiked Half Dome many years ago in Yosemite National Park, we stood 4,800 feet over the most lovely valley I've ever seen in my life, on the top of Half Dome. It was exhilarating. But as all climbs occur, you must climb down at the end. And so as we went down the vertical cables, it was a little scary, I'll admit. My 10-year-old looked at me and looked down those cables and said, "Daddy, I can't do this. I'm too scared." And I don't blame my 10-year-old, because the wind was gusting, the sky was big, the mountains all around us looked like they were going to swallow us. So I looked at my 10-year-old and said, "You don't have to climb down Half Dome. You just have to take the next step." And so I turned around backwards on the cable, and I walked down backwards while my 10-year-old looked down and walked step by step down that mountain. I learned a lesson that day. You don't climb down Half Dome, you just take the next step. And that's what happens with God's people. Take it one step at a time, or you will lose your confidence. You get stuck in the long middle. Well, there's a fourth cause of the long middle: physical fatigue, getting lost in the clutter, losing your confidence. The fourth cause of the long middle is feeling insecure. Look at verse 11. It says, "Also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and we'll put an end to the work." Now, I believe Nehemiah knew that it was very unlikely the enemy would attack the city in broad daylight and full force, because Nehemiah knew that King Artaxerxes, the Persian king, was fully behind this project. And for them to attack the city openly would be like attacking the king of Persia, a foolhardy thing to do. But nothing could stop them from a little nighttime guerrilla warfare. It would take little effort to sneak up at night, surprise the builders and kill a few of them and rush off by daytime. And then in broad daylight, they could deny that they had anything to do with it. That was a brilliant, demoralizing plan. Because I've had to learn this, dear church, through the school of hard knocks, but it's true. Insecurity will stop a God-honoring project in its tracks. When people do not feel safe, when people do not feel secure, it comes to a halt. That's why we work very hard here at church to make church a safe place. That's why you should work very hard at your home to make the home a safe place. That's why we should work to see our schools and our workplaces a safe place. Jesus said, "If anyone causes one of these little ones who trust in me to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea." You know, if we do not create a safe and secure place here at church, for example, we can end up injuring the people we love most. And their loss can plunge their family into a crisis. Their loss can distract the church from its mission. Their loss can even force longtime friends into litigation. But safe church members are loyal. They're quality. They're flourishing. And over our 10-year history at Cedar Church, our officers have worked hard to keep church a safe place. We've enacted policies to prevent abuse. We conduct outside audits every year to prevent fraud. We every year submit our records to the presbytery for their approval. And we also exercise church discipline to protect the innocent and to prevent harm. I need to tell you, dear church, it's not always been easy. It's not always pleasant. It's not always comfortable, but I'll tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it to create a safe and secure place at church, in your home, and wherever you labor and learn. So let me urge you to keep your environment safe so that you and those you love can flourish, or you will get lost in the long middle. And that brings us to the fifth and final cause of the long middle. The fifth and final cause of the long middle is excessive negative talk. Excessive negative talk. Look at verse 12. It says, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack you, attack us. There's an old saying, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. So pick your friends well. Do not pick friends who are highly negative people. Do not fraternize with people who engage in negative talk 10 times over. They will sap you of all your strength. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. That's exactly what these nearby nosy neighbors were doing. They were sapping the people of their morale. Surround yourself by positive talk. If not, you may get lost in the long middle. All right, well, that's the long middle. That's the long middle. It arrived in all of its glory in chapter 4, verse 6, and it peaked here in verse 12. But I need to close with the second point, and that is, what did Nehemiah do about it? How do you handle the long middle when your body and your voice is weary? When you hear such negative talk all around you, when you get lost in the clutter, lose your confidence, feel insecure, how do you handle the long middle? That's our second point, handling the long middle. And we're going to look at three things. First, when you find yourself in the long middle, as we all do, surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. Look at verse 13. It says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Nehemiah closed ranks. He tightened the troops. He pulled the people together. And the way he did it is by gathering the scattered people of Jerusalem, and he united them by family. In this life, family is forever. And I know we all go through stages where we think everyone else out there looks so much more interesting and exciting than the crowd God gave me to. Oh, dear church, there is power in the family. The family is the single most important social structure in the world. Families are universal. Families are resilient. They last amazingly long. Families are the place of intimacy like no other place. And so, dear church, when your fear is greatest, when your tension is highest, when you're in the long middle and you don't know if you're going to make it to the finish line, you surround yourself with the right people. The right family, I have to say, in this day and age. When the family has not become that haven and sanctuary that it could be, surround yourself with the right family, the people you love and the people who love you. And they will ground you. They will steady you. And they will orient you to why you began the project in the first place. Love will help you through the long middle. Secondly, when you find yourself in the long middle, you focus on God. Verse 14. And after I looked things over, he said, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Focus on God. How do you focus on God in the long middle? Our verse says you do it by remembering the Lord. call to mind who God is and what God has done. And the way you do that in your time of the long middle is to have a life of engagement with God, where you read about God, you meditate about God, you memorize God's word, and it will help you call him to mind when you're on the spot. When you are on the spot and you're in the long middle, you will remember things like, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You will remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You will remember, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, so that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Dear church, you remember the Lord by remembering his word. And remembering his word, what it says he does. And if you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 solid promises of God rolling around in your brain each day, it will help you in days of affliction in the long middle. So thirdly and finally, when you find yourself in the long middle, balance faith and action. Faith and action. Look back at verse 9. It says in verse 9, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet his threat. Then verse 15, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. For many centuries, the church has called this ora et labora. Ora et labora. Pray and work. Work and pray. Not just one, not just the other, both at the same time. Dear church, if you want to get through the long middle, put one foot in front of the other while you pray. So I'm going to close with this question. Is there a spiritual project in your life? But it's half done. It's at a standstill. It's as tired sounding as my voice is right now. Maybe somewhere along the way, you got stuck in the long middle. You got tired. You got lost in the clutter. You've lost your confidence. You're feeling insecure. You're surrounded by negative talk, so you just stopped. May I urge you by the grace of God, you surround yourself with the right people again. You start focusing on God and his promises again. And you balance faith and action. And by God's grace, you will break free of the long middle. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God which says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will ever boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So we pray, O Lord, for the dear friends in this congregation today. We pray that if any be weary or stalled in their spiritual worship of you and service to one another, that today would be the day they break free, that today would be the day that lost confidence would be answered, that clutter would be removed, insecurity resolved, negative talk abandoned, and surrounded by God and his right people with faith and action. Thank you, Lord, for our story today, and thank you for the weakness with which you have afflicted your speaker today. For we know, O Lord, that in you all things are possible. We ask this in Christ's name, and let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.